Thank you for listening to our podcast. Church at the Well is a community practicing the way of Jesus and thirsting for the life he gives.
Well, we are starting a new sermon series today, 9 weeks long, on the fruit of the Spirit. And the reason we're taking 9 weeks to teach on the fruit of the Spirit is we want to be the kind of church that is deeply committed to three things: to being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. And we spent most of 2023 teaching what the scriptures have to say about being with Jesus. How do we be with Jesus? Where are places that scripture tells us we're guaranteed to be with Jesus? And our emphasis for this year, 2024, is the second part of that mission, becoming more like Jesus, which is easier said than done, right? Like, it feels to me like being with Jesus is fairly accessible. I think I can do that. I think I can be with Jesus. But when I hear about becoming more like Jesus, whoa, that feels daunting. How about you? That feels a little overwhelming. Why do we have to do that? Can't we just be with him? But the thing is, if we're serious about following Jesus and becoming his disciples and becoming his apprentices, we have to be with him for sure. But being with him by itself won't be enough. We also have to learn how to become more like him. We have to learn how to do the things that he did. Because being with Jesus by itself doesn't mean we're going to be formed and shaped by Jesus. Right? We can be around Jesus and be with Jesus without actually becoming his apprentices, his disciples. See, we can be Christians our entire lives and approach Jesus in a purely transactional way without ever being transformed, ever having a firsthand life with God. And so how do we do it? How do we become more like Jesus? Well, John Mark Comer, in his book Practicing the Way, offers several things for us to consider when we're wanting to become more like Jesus. And the first one is teaching. And this involves scripture, right? That we have to learn who Jesus is if we're going to become like him. See, we all have these ideas of who God is and who Jesus is, but scripture tells us actually who he is. And teaching is a big part of our formation and being transformed into Christ's image. We have to learn who he is if we want to become more like him. The second thing that we should consider when we're thinking about becoming more like Jesus is practice. One of the first things Jesus says in his famous Sermon on the Mount, you guys have heard of the Sermon on the Mount before. It's Jesus' most famous sermon. One of the first things he says in that sermon is this: whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. He starts his sermon with an invitation, a call to practice. And then at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, again, Jesus' most famous sermon, he says this: therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. So Jesus begins his most famous sermon. He begins and ends it with an invitation, a call to practice what he's teaching, to practice. And so that's a part. Now, Jesus in no way here is suggesting that we can habit stack our way to Christlikeness. He's not saying, hey, if you just practice this stuff and do all this stuff, you'll get there. He also tells us that we need a power beyond us to change, and that's the third thing that we need to be considerate of when we're pursuing becoming more like Jesus, and that's the Holy Spirit, because he's the one who transforms us. We can't simply willpower our way to transformation. We can't willpower our way to becoming like Jesus. I know I've tried it for years and years, and I'm guessing you have too. Like, I'll try harder, I'll do better. But we can't do it because it's the work of the Spirit, ultimately, right? Like, practice in spiritual discipline and spiritual rhythms simply make us more aware of God's presence, and they open us up to the Holy Spirit's work. That's their purpose. But transformation is a gift of grace by the Spirit. Comer says it this way in his book, "You will never work harder for anything in your life than Christ-like character. And nothing else will ever feel like such an unearned gift." Right? There's this paradox that we'll never work harder at pursuing Christ-like character, and we'll also never feel like such an unearned gift because it's a work of the Spirit. So yes, we have a part to play in our formation alongside God, but becoming more like Jesus isn't accomplished through doing all the right stuff. There's no equation or formula. If you just go to church and you read your Bible every day and you pray a little bit and you serve and you give to the poor, you'll become... There's no formula like that because it's a work of the Spirit. Right? There's this cooperative effort. The fourth thing that we need to consider when we want to become more like Jesus is community, because becoming more like Jesus isn't something we can do on our own. We need a community to do it with. That's why Jesus didn't invite one disciple. He had 12 come with him. They lived in community. And then there was other groups of people that lived in community together that made up and comprised the early church. The fifth thing that we need to consider is that a lot of our formation, a lot of us becoming more like Jesus happens through suffering. And that's not something that a lot of churches love to preach. Hey, welcome to following Jesus. Get ready to suffer. But Isaiah calls Jesus the suffering servant. So if we want to become like Jesus, it would make sense that suffering is going to be a part of our formation, right? That suffering is a way of forging us into the shape of Jesus, because it creates this dependence on the Father, dependence on God. And then the last thing to consider as we're wanting to become more like Jesus is that it takes time, that we don't become like Jesus overnight, do we? Anyone here make it yet? No, it's a lifelong journey. It doesn't happen overnight. As Dallas Willard once said, it requires a long obedience in the same direction. And you'll notice that the first four of these things on this list are active. The last two are passive, which further drives home the point that our transformation, us becoming more like Jesus, is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not a self-help project that we can do on our own. It's not if we can't willpower our way into it. If I just do this harder, maybe it'll happen. No, it's a work of the Spirit. And so what does that look like? How do we cooperate with God by submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit's work in our lives? Well, we're going to take the next 9 weeks, the next 9 Sundays, to talk about what the book of Galatians, chapter 5, refers to as the fruit of the Spirit. It's evidence of God's Spirit at work in our lives, that there's fruit of that. We can see it. We can experience it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says this, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives." See, the Holy Spirit's producing this in our lives. And here's the list of nine. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we want to see evidence of the Spirit at work in our lives and in other followers of Jesus' lives, we'll see these things. We'll see this fruit. And we're going to begin today by looking at patience. And some of your Bible translations use the word forbearance or long-suffering. And I think forbearance might be the best translation choice. And the reason I say that is because when you and I typically think of patience, we equate it with waiting for something good. Right, we say stuff like this: just be patient, it'll happen. Or just a little bit longer, be patient. It's everything that you're hoping for is going to come. And that's typically how we use patience, view patience. But in this passage, patience carries a very different meaning, a very different connotation. In the Greek, The Greek word for patience here in this verse is makarathumia. Can you guys try to say that with me? Makarathumia. And it means patient. It means to be long-tempered. It means to be long-suffering. It means this, to put up with. And it doesn't mean like putting up with hard circumstances or putting up with challenges. It means putting up with people. It's relational. Makarathumia is I'm putting up with you, and you're putting up with me and with each other. And it has the imagery of a long burning fuse. And this Greek word for patience that's used in Galatians chapter 5 that we just read, it has a Hebrew cousin. The Old Testament was primarily written in Hebrew, and this Hebrew phrase is used 13 times in the Old Testament to describe God being slow to anger. And in Hebrew, this word is arek apiam, and it means long-suffering. It's a Hebrew phrase that literally means this, to be long of nose. To be long of nose. The Hebrew language is a picturesque language, so the words utilize images and pictures, and it has the idea or image of flaring nostrils. I think you know why. Because our nostrils flare when we're trying to collect ourselves, right? We're biting our tongue, we close our mouths, because we don't want to react, and what do? Our nostrils begin to flare. It's a way for our bodies to get oxygen, to calm ourselves down. It's a recapium. To not react in a harsh way. My son, Josh, I have a son who's on the autistic spectrum. And sometimes when things don't go a certain way or what he thinks it should be, he gets kind of flustered. And when he was younger, a kid in school, the teachers were working with him that whenever he would get flustered, they would help him to smell the flowers and blow out the candles. And we didn't know, of course, they were working on him with this at school. One day he came home and he was getting all flustered. He's crying and he's talking to himself, Josh, smell the flowers, blow out the candles. And we saw it as parents. We were like, that's amazing. So we talked to the teachers like, yeah, this is one of the things we're doing with him. And when I see my son do that, he's practicing makarathumia. He's practicing patience. When I see that, it's so instructive to me that Josh is teaching me, like, hey, you need to do this when you lose patience for others. To breathe in, to let the nostrils flare. Let me ask you this question. When have you witnessed someone being long of nose? In other words, when have you witnessed people being patient, long-suffering, slow to anger, forbearing, long-tempered? When have you witnessed someone who's able to breathe in patience, even when they were irritated or annoyed? See, one of the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in our life is makarathumia, is patience with others. I want to read a few other New Testament passages that use the same Greek word and exhort us to learn patience and be attentive to the Holy Spirit growing patience in our lives. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, makarathumia, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Again, that Greek word, makarathumia. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Again, that Greek word, makarathumia. So the question we have to ask, of course, is if the Holy Spirit wants to grow this kind of patience in us, how do we till the ground of our hearts and minds and cooperate with the Spirit and cultivate and fertilize what he wants to grow in us? And one of the things that I'm learning about cultivating patience in my own life is that I'm more equipped to be patient with others when I consider how patient God is with me. When I reflect on how long of nose God is with me. How patient and long-suffering he is with me. How much grace he extends to me. Because like you, I do stupid stuff all the time. And it's often the same stupid stuff. And God is patient. He's long-suffering. He's slow to anger. He demonstrates makarathumia. He forbears. Right? And my fuse gets longer when I experience firsthand the patience of God, the patience of others toward me. These last few weeks, I've had a crazy whirlwind season. And I'm sure many of you as well have experienced this as often as I do. Last couple of weeks, we hosted a number of different house guests. My son, who lives in Boston, came up and stayed with us a couple times. His girlfriend came up and stayed with us for a weekend, and she brought her parents, which we've never met. But it's getting serious, and so it's time to meet the parents. So we had a whole weekend where we spent together with her and her parents. We also had my mother-in-law come and stay with us for a week. My daughter flew out to Tampa with a friend and her mom for a few days. Now my wife and my daughter are in Maine at a volleyball tournament this weekend. Me and my son Joshua are holding down the fort and trying to keep the house from burning down. And to add on top of that, we rented our house out during the eclipse. And I remember when my mother-in-law told me, "Yes, I'm coming, I got my plane ticket," we said, "We don't have a house for you to stay in. This is it. And we're thankful for some friends who are long-suffering and forbearing that took us into their home, and we became house guests. During this chaos, I don't even know how long it's been, 10, 11 days of all of these moving parts, I wasn't sleeping great. I was a little worn out and stressed. I was reflecting on one of my favorite movies, The Lord of the Rings, and there's this scene where Bilbo Baggins says to Gandalf, "I feel thin, sort of stretched, like butter scraped over too much bread." And I was, "Amen, Bilbo, that's what I feel." I feel that. And I was struggling in my efforts to be long of nose. How many know that when you're tired, when you've got a lot of things going on, we're cleaning and getting our house ready to move out of it, to have strangers move into it, so that we have to pick up after them when they move out of it. And we have house guests, and we're juggling, and there just doesn't feel like there's any margin. Have you ever been in a season where it felt like that and you didn't have a lot of patience for people? Like you needed some makarathumia. At one point during this time, my nostrils were literally flaring. And my wife, she's great because she knows me and understands me. And she gave me a hug and said, "It's going to be okay." And she has a gift for breathing makarathumia into me and into our house when we need it the most. And again, grateful for friends who kind of helped alleviate some of the stress we were feeling. But I myself was having a really hard time being forbearing during this kind of hectic season. And I wasn't able to settle down until one night I got in my car and I drove to Shaw's. That's where I go to calm down. Actually, I was going to get ZQL because I needed a good night's sleep. And as I was in my car, there was nothing I could do. I wasn't cleaning my house. I wasn't preparing for stuff. I wasn't figuring out hosting or moving in, moving out. And I just had some space. and some time just to talk to God about what I was feeling. I wasn't feeling very patient. I wasn't feeling very rested. And I was just talking to God about that. And then that kind of transitioned into a space where I was reflecting on all the ways that God has been patient with me, hospitable to me, long-suffering with me, how other people in my life have been patient with me, long-suffering with me, and how that was a gift of grace. And I got my Z-Quil, I got back in my car, and I could feel the temperature in my spirit just kind of like settle down. And when I slowed down enough to consider those things, I was able to right-size some of the irritations and annoyances that I was wrestling with. And I find that that's one of the ways the Holy Spirit grows patience in us, is he irrigates our irritations with his grace. Right? When we begin to reflect on like, oh, others have been patient with me and God is patient with me, all of a sudden those irritations get softened up a little bit. Right? And that patience that the Holy Spirit wants to grow can grow because the soil is kind of tilled up and softened. It's been irrigated by his grace. See, I believe this, that we put up with, you and I, we put up with much better when we recognize the patience that's being extended to us. All the putting up with that's been extended to us. When we recognize it, we put up with better. So here's my question for you this morning. Where have you experienced patience, or makarathumia, patience for others? Where have you experienced patience being extended to you, both from God and from other people? Where have you been a recipient of patience? When someone graciously put up with you, because they do, right? So what would it look like for you to allow the Holy Spirit to irrigate your heart? There could be people here this morning, or you're sitting here, but you're like irritated and annoyed with somebody in your life. It could be a coworker, it could be a neighbor, it could be a family member, it could be yourself. You're irritated and annoyed. What would it look like to allow the Holy Spirit just to come and irrigate those irritations with his goodness, with his grace? Maybe it involves Z-Quil. I don't know. I want to read one more verse before I close in prayer. It's in the book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 5 says this: May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I close in prayer here in a moment, I want to invite you to take some time to reflect on some of the ways God's been patient with you, where he's been gracious with you, where he has been long-suffering toward you. And invite the Holy Spirit to help you till up the ground of your heart. Any place that needs to be irrigated by grace. And I'm going to ask that God's grace will flow through us and soften all those irritations and annoyances that we're wrestling with, and that the Holy Spirit would continue to grow patience in our lives, and that we would cooperate with that by fertilizing it with thinking and contemplating on his goodness and grace and patience with us. So will you pray with me? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we are so grateful for your commitment to us, that you are at work producing fruit in our lives. But Lord, if we're honest, sometimes we look at our own lives and we don't see a lot of fruit. And we can get frustrated and discouraged and disappointed. Lord, that's why it's so good to remind ourselves that this is a work of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is committed to this work, and we're so grateful for that. But God, we confess that as we look at patience, that we lack it. We lack patience. We lack makrothumia. That sometimes it's really hard for us to put up with. So Holy Spirit, would you give us your grace? Would you irrigate our hearts and our minds? Soften all the hard ground that is filled with annoyances and irritations, and would you give us the gift of your grace? Would you help us and enable us to reflect on all the times that you are so patient with us, and that you've brought others into our lives to be patient with us? And we pray, Lord, that would be transformative. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're growing patience in our lives. We want to cooperate with you as best as we can, Lord, so soften our hearts even now. Lord, we'll do our very best to listen to what you have to say, to receive your grace and help. And we ask all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and we'll sing.
You're listening to the official podcast of Church at the Well in Burlington, Vermont. For more information about Church at the Well, including gathering time and location, events, and how you can financially support the podcast, please visit us online at www.wellchurchvt.com.